Our first scripture reading comes from the first chapter in Genesis, and Carol and I will be reading it together once I get my clicker out of my pocket. Okay. So I'll be reading from the first creation story, the one where God created the world in a week. It's very different from the second creation story, the one many of you are more familiar with, the Adam and Eve story. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4a. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the ocean surface. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water's surface. God said,
"Let light come into existence."
So light came into existence, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said,
"Let a dome come into existence in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters."
So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said,
"Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear."
And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with a seed in it."
And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said,
"Let lights come into existence in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for the seasons, and for days and years, and let them be the lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth."
And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said,
"Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let creatures fly above the earth and across the dome of the sky."
So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying,
"Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth, on the earth."
And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said,
"Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind."
And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them,
"Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth."
God said,
"See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food."
And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done. And God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This ends our reading from the book of Genesis. Our Genesis reading came from the beginning, and our gospel reading comes at the end of the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus has been teaching the disciples, the crowds, the scribes, and the Pharisees. He's been crucified by the Romans, buried, and raised from the dead by God. And then he appeared to the disciples. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This ends our gospel reading. Our epistle reading comes from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It's at the very end, and Paul sums up all his teachings, what he wants the church in Corinth to know. Listen for the word of God as it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. "Finally, sisters and brothers, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Be like-minded. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." This ends our reading of God's word. May the same Spirit who inspired these words interpret them to us this morning. Today is Trinity Sunday. And so we had two very Trinitarian readings and one reading about the creation at the very beginning. Paul urges the church in Corinth to be like-minded. Our pew Bibles say agree with one another, and we all know how hard that is to do in a group of people. I think a better translation is be like-minded, and it's much more literal. It means have the same mind. Be like-minded. Focus on the same things. Know what is important. That's what Paul was urging the Corinthians to do. And those of you who have read the letters to the Corinthians know that was a tall order because they weren't a very agreeable group most of the time. Paul reminds them of the importance of being like-minded, and he reminds them about grace and peace and communion. That's how he talks about the Trinity at the very end of his letter, grace, peace, and communion. Another way to say communion is fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. He wanted them to trust that the Spirit would be moving among them. In the Eastern Church, the idea of the Trinity is perichoresis, or a dance. And if you look at the front cover of your bulletins, you'll see there's a picture of three people dancing together. The Western Church took as its model for the Trinity a triangle, a very static and still triangle. But to the Eastern Church, the Trinity is about the relationship among the three persons of the Trinity. It's about circling and weaving and whirling together and inviting other people into the dance. The Trinity isn't something that we have to believe in. Our faith isn't in the Trinity. What the Trinity is a way to give words to our faith, to describe the God that we believe in. Beloved, lover, and love. The Trinity isn't a static idea, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that doesn't move, but rather it's a dance. Things move all together. The Gospel of Matthew ends with baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a reminder that Jesus is in relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are also in relationship with us. That last part of Matthew is sometimes troublesome for some of us who know the history of the Christian church in its darkest moments, where we forced people to become Christians, or at least to say the words that they believe in the Trinity. And the troublesome phrase is, go and make disciples in all nations. And that word for make disciples doesn't have to be translated as make disciples. It can also mean be disciples in all nations, disciple all nations, or teach all nations. It doesn't mean force people to become Christians or else. It means be a witness for Jesus Christ in all the nations of the world. And I appreciated learning that. Jesus also says to the disciples, obey what I have commanded you. And what has Jesus commanded them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. Those are the commands that Jesus expects the disciples to follow when they go out into all the nations. And remember at the very beginning of Matthew, when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, the devil offered him all the nations of the world. And Jesus didn't succumb to that temptation, I think partly because he knew the nations were not the devil's to give. The nations belong to God. And so it's interesting to me at the end of Matthew that Jesus gives the disciples to all of the nations. He reverses that. So we can be disciples no matter where we are, and it is indeed our call to obey Christ's commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the opportunity I had these past few weeks to love our neighbors as ourselves. A lot of you know that we hosted Fairness for All Families here a week ago Saturday. It was for the people who wanted to support Billings having a non-discrimination ordinance. And we opened our parking lot and our lawn to people who were flying kites, painting faces. Oh, one more thing, and painting signs. Sorry, I forgot the fourth thing that they were doing. But we had a lot of children here. We had some bikers in their leathers come. They had just started an organization called Bikers Against Child Abuse, and they brought their hogs and parked them in our parking lot. So it was a pleasure for me to be there, to welcome people, and mostly what I did is say, and here's the bathroom, and here's the bathroom, I was sorry to have to leave Revamp the camp earlier to come here, but it was a joy to be with so many people who were so appreciative. And I asked them what it meant to them to have this event at the church. And I took a few notes about what they said to me. They said, "This is the best place because of the high visibility, because of the great parking, because you were so generous with the tables and chairs, because it had a shady place indoors where we could come and cool off. It was amazingly beautiful, and the children could be in the grassy yard, and we didn't have to worry." And then another person told me, "Having it at a church means everything to me. The church brought me out of the darkness." People talked about fairness, equality, and dignity. And they also told me how the pain that they experienced in churches. And so it mattered to them that we were able to welcome them. Last Monday, I was at First Congregational Church downtown, being with the people who were speaking in support of the non-discrimination ordinance. We stood on the sidewalk and we held up signs and we encouraged people who were driving by to honk at us if they were in support. And one guy on a bicycle rang his little bike bell in support of us. It was really a wonderful time, and the LGBT people who were there were very touched that so many people came out in support, and again touched that there were so many pastors there who valued them instead of condemning them. A police officer walked by, and I knew he was on his way to the city council to kind of maintain order in the room, and as he walked by, I walked with him, and I shook his hand, and I said, "Thank you." And he said, "You're welcome," and he kept walking. It was a pretty cordial event on the streets that night. But in the city council, things got very heated, partly because there were so many people in the room, and it got very warm, and it lasted until 6 in the morning. So if you see any of your city council members, be sure to thank them for their devotion, because it ended up being a 10.5-hour meeting. A friend of mine who was there was stopped by a neighbor the next day, and I wanted to read to you the conversation she had. "Neighbor, I heard your people were out stopping traffic in front of City Hall on Monday." "My friend, we did have a rally down there." "Neighbor, no, I mean stopping traffic and wouldn't let people go until they signed your petition, until the cops told them to stop." "My friend, I didn't see that. Did they stop you?" "Neighbor, no, I had 3 people tell me that there was a blockade to stop people and make them sign it. Cops had to arrest people." "My friend, no, now I'm sure that didn't happen. And when I was there, everyone was on the sidewalk except for one man with a megaphone across the street from us who kept shouting, 'Jesus saves.' And sometimes he stepped down onto the street, and I heard that a police officer urged him to get back on the sidewalk where it was safer." So the neighbor said, "Well, why would they lie about it to me? They go to church and don't lie." And my friend said, "Well, why would I lie?" And the neighbor said, "See, there you go, trying to twist my words against me." Since then, the neighbor hasn't spoken to her. As I said, things got pretty heated. Many people were waiting for their 3 minutes to testify before the city council, and one young woman told about her experience. She wrote to me, "Plenty of people told me what I needed to do to be prepared. They even reassured me with the promise that there would be moral support available if I needed. I couldn't figure out what all the fuss was about. I mean, come on, I've heard hate and intolerance and bigotry before. This would be nothing new. I was going there to speak my truth, and that was it." You can tell she is very, very young. And then she wrote about what it was like to hear people say cruel and fearful words in the hallway where they waited for hours. and what it was like to hear religious people talk to the city council members about sin. At one point, she broke down and cried, and she wasn't able to be nearly as poised as she expected to be when she got to the lectern. And she told me how much it meant to her that we had a rally here at St. Andrew in a holy place, and how much it meant to her that 50 faith leaders signed the letter to the city council urging them to pass the NDO. This last spring, as I attended Not in Our Town meetings, I met a lot of LGBT people who were very surprised to find out that I was a pastor. And for the first time, it wasn't because I was a woman, it was because they weren't used to having faith leaders value them. They're so used to insults that I felt like I was discipling a nation and bringing them God's love and peace. Some of you know about Tumbleweeds, the organization that takes care of homeless youth. Sabrina Curry works for Tumbleweeds, and I met her in person when I went to the open house for the new home in the Heights called Chrysalis for some of the Tumbleweeds youth. And Sabrina told me that many of their kids, the kids that they're ministering to, have been kicked out by their families for being gay. Most of us know that Father's Day is a hard day for those of us who didn't have very present fathers or didn't have good fathers or for people who weren't able to be the kind of fathers they wanted. And Sabrina Curry wrote this: "There are just too many people wandering around with gaping holes needing to be filled because parents didn't step up. On Father's Day, I honor the stepper-uppers." We need people to be with us, to stand with us, to offer emotional support. We need people to step up. And remember what Emmanuel means. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, in Joseph's dream, the angel quoted Isaiah, saying Jesus will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And at the end of the gospel, Jesus tells the disciples, "And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." One of the ways we understand God is as our Father, near to us and stepping up. But God is much more to us than just a father. God is the one who created the cosmos and the earth, God of equations and physics and biology. This great God who created all those things loves us tiny, imperfect human beings and calls us very good. And that is something for us to celebrate and remember this Father's Day. Amen.